So we are coming to the close of 2024. And can you believe it? Next month is a new year. I don't know about you, but for me, the year has gone by so fast, so quickly. And doesn't the scripture say that he will shorten the days for the elect's sake? And that's what we see happening, I believe. The days are being shortened for the elect's sake. And as we approach the end of this year, in the next couple Sundays, what I want to do, I'm going to share with you something that's pertinent, and that's going to lead us right into 2025. But I'm going to begin from now to tell you what it is we should be asking the Lord if we're not already doing that. Sometimes our prayers can be a little out of the way in that we come to God and we say, Lord, I want this. Lord, I want that. Lord, I want this. I need this and I need that. And the Lord already knows and sees what we already need. He knows that. But our attitude, our disposition has got to be different in going into 2025. And the question we should be asking is the same question I ask every single week before I stand behind this pulpit. I ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want to say to your people? Lord, what do you want to do through us? And I want that to be the focus of our hearts, of our minds, going through the rest of this year and into 2025. It's not about what we want, it's about what God wants. Can I get a loud amen?
Amen.
It's about what the Lord wants. It's not about us. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his right standing with man and with God. Seek it. Actively pursue it. Okay? And then everything else will be added. God already sees and knows what you need. Okay? Now we have premise from God's word. I taught on this recently. The four purposes of prayer. Okay, and one of those purposes, God gives us leeway in his word to come and to bring our requests before him, our petitions before him. That's correct. But the mindset of the believer should not just be, oh, Lord, what I want, what I want, what I want, what I want. The mindset of the true believer is, Lord, what do you want to do through me? Lord, what are you saying to me? Lord, as we go into 2025, how are you going to use me? What do you want to do through me? And I'm going to share with you some things now. Let me just share with you some scriptures. I don't know how I'm going. I'm just going to sort of share some things, okay? Last week we looked at, we talked a little bit about sacrifice, how to build an altar, how to erect an altar before God. And we went through some of the principles. Please understand that those are principles, okay, that we use. And we looked at the physical altar. And then we made a comparison to what the altar is today. It's a spiritual one, not a physical one. And as we look at that, and as we go forward, we need to make sure what we said last week was that the altar today is the altar of our hearts. Okay? It's an invisible place. And the altar is always a place where an exchange is made. Okay, so when we come to the altar, when we say come to the altar and you come, you're coming to the place, an invisible spot where an exchange now is going to be made. Okay, you give to God, God gives to you, and you receive. Isn't that right? Is that right, church? Okay, so as we go into that, what we saw last week was that Elijah broke down the altar that Baal had made, and the Bible calls it, by the way, the altar of the Lord. Okay, so the altar of the Lord was, if you like, abused. It was used incorrectly. And Elijah had to break it down and rebuild it. Okay, the altar of the Lord needed to be rebuilt. Okay, we mentioned a number of things. I'm not going to go into all of that, but I'm going to mention one point from that. And please notice that from that story, that the fire of the Lord did not come from heaven until everything was in place. God is a God of order. And if we want to see God working in our hearts, working in our life, we've got to make sure that everything was in place, is in place for God to work. We've got to make sure that that is the premise. So folks, listen, you don't look to the left, you don't look to the right. You don't look to man, you look to God. And you do what God's words say, right? Because not everybody that says they are a Christian are serious about the things of God. And so some people, and I came across that this week, you know, listening to something, and I can't remember what it was. I was talking to somebody, and I think it may have been Joy, and we said, well, yeah, they said they're a Christian, but maybe they're a Christian as opposed to not being a Muslim, not being a Hindu. But it doesn't mean that they're a practicing Christian. It doesn't mean that they've given their hearts to the Lord. It doesn't mean that they're serving Him, that they're studying His Word, and fulfilling His purpose through their lives. It doesn't mean that. And so we have to discern, and we have to sort of understand where we're at, and we have to understand what is actually going on in our lives as well as around us, and be discerning as to whether or not the thing that people say is truth. And that's why I love God's Word, because God's Word brings the balance for all of this. So everything was in place. The wood was in place. The sacrifice was in place. He poured water on the altar, 12 barrels of water. And He did something else before the fire of God came down. And what He did was He used His voice to speak. And He was talking to God. He used His voice. He called upon God. He prayed to God. Okay? And when He prayed to God, the Bible says the fire came down from heaven and licked up. It didn't just lick up it didn't just lick up the sacrifice. It didn't just lick up the water. It didn't just lick up the wood. But the Bible also mentions that the fire of God came down. You read that passage again, and you will see quite clearly, it licked up also stones and dust that was there. These are the little residues that sometimes linger. No intrinsic value, but they linger. And the fire of God came and consumed them. Are you with me today? What I'm saying is, church, are you here? Okay, I need to feel you. All right, I need to hear you and feel you. What I'm saying is that sometimes things linger in our lives. And when we submit ourselves to God, and when we really bring our sacrifice of praise to God and bring everything to God, and sometimes we may think that we've brought everything, and we have, but sometimes whatever lingers, when God begins to move, I'm telling you that the fire of God will pour out and burn up everything that lingers. Everything of no intrinsic value will be gone from your life. So the wrong thing to do is to begin to focus on every little minute detail of everything. And I've got to be careful how I say that, because I'm not saying neglect stuff that you see and that you know that you should be dealing with. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying sometimes, folks, we make the focus the wrong thing. Always make the focus God and His purposes. Always make the purpose, folks, your focus rather, God and His purposes. Do not let anything shift you away from that. So what I'm saying here is that until everything was in place, but until Elijah used his voice to call upon God, nothing happened. And what we've got to do is we've got to recognize, and I've been saying this and I'm going to be saying it going into 2025 some more. Next couple of weeks, I'm going to be repeating myself with some of these and showing you some more scripture. But today, I think where I'm going to go today is I just want us to open our Bibles and let's look at some scriptures, okay? In regards to the importance of all of this, of using our voice to activate things. We've looked at some of these already, but let's have a look at some more. Let me start off by going into Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "For everything there is a time and a season under the sun." And then when we flick over to verse 7, verse 7 says, "There is a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence." Did you hear that? A time to keep silence, but then a time to speak. So we've got to know what time, what season are we in? Where we're at now, what does God want us to do? There's a time to keep silent, but there's also a time where we must speak. And that's non-negotiable. Now, I'm going to give you some scriptures here. And we're going to look at some of these verses. Have a look at this one. The Bible says in Let me give you several scriptures and I'm going to read them. Psalm 32, verse 3. You can write them down and look at them later on. Please do that, you know. I love to feed you God's word because I'm not standing up here and talking about what I think. I'm talking about what God's word says, okay? Now, Psalm 32 and verse 3 says, "When I keep silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long." In other words, then, the time came for the psalmist to speak, to open his mouth, to declare, and he didn't. And he says, when he doesn't do that, when everything is within you and the if you like, the atmosphere and the time calls for us to call upon God, and we don't do that, the psalmist said here, "When I kept silent, my bones grew old." And I believe that was discomfort inside of him. Because he was not doing what he should have been doing in that moment and in that time. The principle from that is still the same. When there is a time for us to open our mouth and to decree and to declare and to speak out, and we don't do that, we are actually, you know what you do in your licensing the enemy to continue to do whatever he wants to do. And believe me, the enemy is always around, wanting to get God's people and to grab their attention. Let's have a look at a few more verses. Psalm 94, verse 17. Psalm 94 and verse 17. "Unless the Lord," this is what the psalmist said, listen to this. "Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would have settled in silence." My soul, it would have settled in silence if the Lord had not been my help. So I believe what the psalmist is saying, the Lord helped him to activate his voice in the situation that he was going through, and so therefore he had victory. Therefore the Lord came and helped him. And if he had not done that, if God had not helped him, because we are workers together with him, then he would have just settled in silence. And that's what the enemy wants to do today. He wants his church, he wants God, the church, not his church, he wants the church of God silent. He wants the church of God numb, dumb, closed, the mouth not saying anything. Why? Because we know this, and you know these scriptures, right? Because death and life, Proverbs 18:21, is in the power of the what? Yeah. You've got the ability, you've got the power to speak life into your environment, wherever that is, or you've got the power, you've got the ability to speak death into it. Now, I've been quoting and we've been reading from Romans 4, verse 17, that talks about the context is God and Abraham. And the Bible there was describing God who calls forth those things that be not as though they already exist. And that's what God does. He calls forth those things that be not as though they already exist. Now, if we have, and by the way, you'll know this already, Genesis 1, 26 and 27, it tells us that we were made in the image of God and after his likeness. And that word likeness in the Hebrew, it means that we were made to function like God. That's the way that God made you. So whatever God did, and we saw what he did in Genesis 1, we, as God spoke, it came into being. He said it and it came into being. He spoke it and then it manifested. And that's what God wants his church to do today. Speak forth, okay? Declare whatever it is that you're believing for, if it's in line with God's will and God's word, and it will manifest if you speak in faith in the time that God has apportioned it for it to happen. Are you with me, church? What you should not be doing is talking about the problem, talking about the problem, talking about the problem. Why are you talking about something that already exists when God has given you the ability and the power to call forth those things that be not as though they already exist? We've got that power within us today. John 6 and verse 63, the words that I speak, the words that we speak, I'm paraphrasing now, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and they are life. Because we are spirit beings. The real you is a spirit. And so when you speak, your spirit speaks. And God has given you that ability to make, to manifest that thing that you speak will manifest. I said this before and I gave examples. You know, you can make yourself sick. I don't know if anybody is brave enough to admit today. Have you ever done that before? Has anybody ever made themselves sick before? You're speaking. I have. Only me and Cara. The rest of them all? Oh, and Simone as well. The rest of them all? No. When I was a kid, I did that because I didn't want to go to school. And I just wished it on myself. And I've done that since, actually. I've done that. You know, sometimes, why would somebody do that? Why would we do that? I don't know. But we do. You believe in your head that you're not well. And guess what? You're not well. And then that manifestation of the thing, even if you were well, now you made yourself sick. And it manifests itself over time. We have that power. The Bible says that we are wonderfully and fearfully made. And sometimes, I don't know if we grasp that there's more potential inside of us than we realize. God has given us so much more than we actually realize that we've got. The same words that you use to speak life can speak death. We just looked at that, Proverbs 18:21. But also Proverbs 6 and verse 2 says what? That you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are caught by the words of your mouth, or you're trapped. So your words can give you freedom, or your words can bring you into a trap. You can be caught or caught out by the words that come out of your mouth. This is why the Spirit of God had me I was strong on this. Stop the mumbling and the grumbling and the complaining and the moaning. Because those are all negative vibes, and you create a negative atmosphere around you, and that counters, okay? I'm going to be talking about this. The counters the glory of God from coming into your being, into your presence. We're going to be talking about that, because the glory of God must be seen, and I declare in Jesus' name that the glory of God will be seen in this church. And manifestations of God's will and God's power and purposes will come about in the name of the Lord. So the enemy can fight, and I know he's fighting, and I know that it's intensified. We see that all around, and we know that. And I've been echoing that over the months. It's intensified. Let the enemy fight. Let people talk. Let them criticize. It doesn't really matter. What you've got to do is have your eyes upon God. And the only thing that matters is what God says to you. So your ears have to be open, and your spirit has to be discerning, and you have to be strong in the power of the Lord and His might, so that you can stand, as Paul said, and having done everything, stand. Because if you're not properly dressed with the armor of God, the attacks of the enemy will come, and if you're not careful, you'll find yourself falling. But then we looked at that, innit? The stance of the Christian believer, the Christian soldier. Three different positions. And the correct one is to stand, and having done all, stand. But if you fall, the good news is that you can rise again. Isn't that good news? Of course it is, because all of us, somewhere, sometime or the other, we've fallen. But God, through His grace, has risen us up again. Let me give you another scripture. I've got some of them written down here. Okay, and some of them are just going with the flow from my memory. Psalm 115 and verse 17. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go into silence. And I've said this before, I've told you this before. There's nobody on this earth who can say and justify it through the word of God that, well, I'm praising God internally. No, you can't do that. You can't praise God in silence. We looked at the Hebrew words. I think we looked at in the past 7 or 9. I can't remember how many. I think it was 7. 7 Hebrew words, and all of them are outward expressions. All of them. Outward expressions. You cannot praise God internally by keeping your mouth shut and by just being still. You cannot do that. So praise demands more of you. And we're told in the scriptures that in the good times and in the bad times, we've got to praise Him. So things may not be going well, but that should not stop your praise. And God has created it, so why? Because He said that, you know what, when my people begin to praise me, I'm going to show up. That's what draws the presence. Your praise to God, coming from a right heart, a pure heart, a clean heart, is a sweet aroma. And He accepts that because it's coming from A heart that doesn't have grudges. A heart that doesn't have unforgiveness. A heart that doesn't have bitterness. And all these things. It's coming from a pure place. And so God accepts it. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go into silence. So that means I've got to activate my mouth and my teeth and everything around there to praise God. Now, I said Ecclesiastes 3, for everything there's a time and a season. You remember the life of Job? Let me look at Job a little bit, and then we'll take communion. And then next week I'm going to go into some deeper things and talk some more about the things we've got to do in terms of going forward in 2025. There's going to be a lot of... folks, please understand this, okay? That I suppose that sometimes, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but there's a tendency sometimes, you know, when a preacher says something that people have heard it before and they say, oh, here we go again. Something we've got to do. Oh, I just want God to bless me. We've been hearing what to do. We've been hearing about this. We've been hearing about that. You know, we just want God to. But you want to understand that this is a spiritual ministry and that we are spirits and we are not in charge. God is in charge. Are you hearing me? God is in charge. And so God leads. I take this very seriously. I don't stand behind this pulpit in familiarity. I don't do that. My responsibility and my duty, and I expressed this last week through something that the Lord shared with me, that it's important to feed God's people the word of God. And God showed me, I told you this last week, I'm not going to repeat it, because some of it was recorded, some wasn't. That's precious to me. And I shared it with you last week, and I'm not going to echo that too much, to be honest, because, you know, I just it's very precious to me. But God showed me, and I shared with you last week, that, you know, I am to feed, okay, and make your plates full of food, the word of God, ready to eat. Now, you will know, when a person cooks a meal, when Joy cooks a meal at home, what she does is she presents it on the plate, but she doesn't feed me. I'm the one who's going to have to take up my knife or my fork or my spoon and eat. Isn't that right? Your mom doesn't feed you, does she? Not anymore. Yeah. Your mom doesn't feed you, does she? Careful, she's beside you. No, she may cook. Okay, now that we're big enough, we cook. Joy doesn't do all the cooking in our home. We cook. All my kids can cook. You know, we cook. Those of us that are living with us, Joshua, Joy, myself, we take turns in cooking. But when everyone cooks, none of us feed one another. We feed ourselves. I'm giving you food, the word of God, every single week. But what's the point of you receiving it on your plate if you're not going to eat? You see what I'm saying? You've got to eat it for yourself. This is why I encourage you to not listen to this sermon here and then boom, that's it. You've got to listen to it. You've got to download it if you can and listen to it again. It's all on the website, every single sermon that we've recorded. There's one or two missed. It's on the website, okay? And it's free for you to download and for you to listen to, because it's important that you do that. Now, Job, the enemy will always... The Bible says in Luke, let me go there, Luke chapter 4, right? The Bible says there that when the sower sows, okay, the devil comes when to steal away the word? Immediately. He comes immediately to steal away the word. And we see him with Job in Job chapter 1, verse 10, I believe it is, where he turns around, the devil it is, and says to God, well, you built a hedge around Job. And not just Job, but his household, and not just his household, But the Bible tells us in that verse around everything that he has. God built. So the devil was saying to God, I can't get to him because you've built a hedge of protection around him. Now, how many people know that God has built a hedge of protection around you? No, despite the negative that you might see around you, listen to me carefully. Understand this. If the devil could have killed you off, he would have done so a long time ago. Think about it. If he could have done that, he would have done that. But I'm going to show you something from the Word of God that I want you to pay attention to. Because as much as God has built a hedge of protection around us, let's go there. Where is it now? Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, I think it is. God built a hedge of protection around Job. He builds a hedge of protection around his people. Why? Because he loves us. Why? Because that's who God is. He loves us. But God has given us a purpose, a mandate. Every single one of you, you have a purpose for your existence. You're not just alive because you're alive. You're not just alive because your parents brought you here on this earth. No, you're alive because God has a purpose for you to fulfill. Now, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And I think it's verse 8. If we look at verse 8, it says, he who digs a pit will fall into it, and whoever breaks through a wall will be bitten by a serpent. But you know what the New King James, the old King James says? It says, whoever breaks the hedge shall be bitten by a serpent. So what am I saying? I'm saying that the hedge of protection that God puts around you, be careful that you do not break it. What can break it? Sin. What can break it? Disobedience. Not following through with what you've been taught, what you've been instructed, with what God says that you should do. Be careful that you do not break the hedge around it. What can break it? What can break the hedge? A distraction, and so you wander off the path. Different things can break that hedge of protection. But God is so gracious that he loves his people so much. The Holy Spirit will be speaking on the inside, prompting you and saying, hey, you've gone off track. Get back on track. Are you with me, church? Get back on track. And we thank God for his protection and for his love, because that's what keeps us and is keeping us today. God loves us with an everlasting love. So even though the hedge of protection is broken, God has already seen and know in your life where the hedge is going to be broken. But he made a way for you to get right back in his presence. Zechariah chapter 3, I'm not going to go there, just mention it. You know this already though. Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, 1 to 8, somewhere down there, is a story about once again, Satan and Joshua the high priest and God. And Satan wanted to Joshua to not fulfill what God wanted him to do. And so he was looking at him and criticizing him and saying all the reasons why he can't. Whereas Jesus was on the other side, on the right-hand side of Joshua, giving all the reasons that he can. As a matter of fact, what Jesus did in that passage was he rebuked Satan and every accusation that he brought. Because Joshua was dressed in dirty garments. But God saw that Joshua had dirty garments. And the beautiful thing, and I mentioned this before, beautiful thing I like about that story is that Joshua did not try to defend himself. He didn't say anything at all. Jesus did all of that. Do you know today, folks, that Jesus is in heaven interceding on your behalf? Do you know that? He's interceding to God on your behalf. John 17, just read that. There's other scriptures, but just read John 17 and you'll see that. He's interceding on your behalf. There are some fights you don't need to fight. You just need to position yourself. And again, we see this in the Bible time and time again. Just position yourself, because, you know, God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And God at times said, no, this battle is not yours, it's mine. Just go and watch. Go on top of the hill, look down. Numerous times, quite a few times this happened. Just go and look. And Israel gathered, look. And then God just fought. He fought. And in one of the fights, God caused confusion amongst the enemy. They turned against themselves. Yeah. started killing one another off. That was God doing it. And he's done that so many times in the Bible, not just with countries, but even with individuals as well. Which I won't go into now. But all I'm saying is that God will fight for you. Some battles you don't need to fight. God is on your side. And if God is for you, who can be against you? It's for you. It's for you. So everything might present itself and it might look like it's going to be overwhelmed. The songwriter said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And that rock is Christ Jesus. And that's who we need to have in our presence. And that's what we need to be saying. Lord, what will you want to do through me? Lord, what do you want? Enough of what I want, Lord. You see that my body needs healing, but Lord, what do you want? Lord, you see that I need the finances and my bills and maybe my debts cleared, but Lord, what do you want? Because when I focus to do your will, I know that you will take care of me. I know that you will provide for me. And Lord, I'm ready to be obedient, to release whatever is in my hands so that your will can be done. Just last week, I'll share this. I will share it. Just last week, Sunday, in this service, I sold a certain amount into the church account. And before the day was finished, when I got home, not only was that given back to me, but not only more than twice the amount was given back to me. I'm talking about money. More than twice the amount was given to me. And when I sold, you remember last week I said, when you're giving a sacrifice, a part of you has to go with it. You remember what I did? I sat there. It's like I felt the Holy Spirit saying, so. And then a certain amount came to my mind and I said, what? So it's not a great amount, but an amount that was enough to tug me. You know what I'm saying? Enough to say, well, hang on a minute. But I obeyed. And right there, I did it. And when I got home, you know, I got more than twice that amount back, you know, through a gift that someone gave to me. So what am I saying? I'm saying God knows how to do whatever he needs to do. And sometimes it's a test. Are you going to believe me? Are you going to trust me? I'm giving you an instruction. And most times my instruction that I give to my people are illogical. But are they going to believe me? Are they going to trust me? And I'd love to believe that your response to that will be saying, yes, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, it may not be... It might be hard, but I'm going to do it. Lord, it may be difficult. I don't understand it, but I'm going to do it. You remember we said on Thursday, we said that there are five different times, isn't it? We need to be obedient. Remember, Pastor Trevor mentioned obedience? There are a number of things, a beautiful service on Thursday. But you remember the five things? Tell them to me. Immediately. When it doesn't make sense. To completion is the fifth one, yeah. When you don't understand it, and when it hurts, when it's painful. Five different times we need to obey God. And it was hurting me a little bit, and I didn't understand it a little bit last week, but I obeyed to completion. Not part. Okay, Lord, I'll give you 80%, 90%. No, the full amount. And the return doesn't always come quickly, but sometimes God gives it. Gives it quickly, just to show you, bam, right then and there, bam, you know. So what I'm saying to you folks here is trust God, believe God, and let his word be the finality in your life. Now, as we're going into Christmas and we're going into the new year, begin to ask, if you're not doing that already, just begin to ask God, Lord, what do you want to do through me? And there's already some stuff, some things that I'm going to be sharing. And the things that I'm going to be sharing, some of it might sound familiar, but I really need to pay attention because they're very, very important. And as I mention them, as I teach them, the Holy Spirit will be speaking to you and teaching you and showing you which areas of your life, okay? Maybe more specifically, I'm speaking in general terms, but he will show you what he needs to show you. And whatever the Holy Spirit shows you, folks, just make up your mind, I'm going to be obedient and I'm going to do what God says. Can I get an amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, we just want to thank you for your goodness, your grace. Lord, we thank you for your providence, Lord. And we thank you we live in a time frame now, Lord, where you are wrapping things up, Lord. Your word says that. Everything is coming to a close. And Lord, you're shifting and moving the remnant, Lord God. And what you're doing is you're shaping the remnant, Lord. And you're infilling them with your purpose and your power, Lord God. In preparation, Father, to be molded, to be shaped, to be used in these times, oh God, that we're living. For your glory, for your purposes to be manifest. We see from your word, Lord God, that when you sent your Son Jesus Christ on the earth, he came and he did nothing except that which the Father said he did and did. And so, Father, we pray that you'll speak to us, Lord. Don't want to do anything except that, Lord God, which you are showing us, Lord. And we know that you've already begun to work in our hearts, work in our lives. And Father, we thank you in advance for the greater manifestations of your purposes and your blessing. We thank you for victories. We thank you for healings, Lord, that have not yet happened, Lord. We thank you for miracles, Lord God, that will be wrought, that will come about in our eyes, Lord, whether it be here in church, whether it be in our homes, or whether it be, Father, with strangers that we don't know in the workplace or on the street. But Lord, wherever we are carrying, Lord God, your glory. And I pray that your glory will be seen more and more upon our lives. And that you will teach us and lead us and shape us and use us, oh God, for your glory, Father, for your purposes, Lord. That your kingdom, Lord God, will be extended, oh God, faithfully because we have played the part that you've called us to play faithfully. So I lift up, Lord God, every single one of us here. And I pray in Jesus' name that your presence and your power be imputed into our hearts and into our lives. That, Lord, as we've heard last week, the first level of sacrifice is ourselves, Lord. So as we give ourselves to you, Father, we pray in Jesus' name that the psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And I pray in Jesus' name. That, Lord God, as we search our hearts and search our minds and search ourselves, Lord, the psalmist went on to say, remove every wicked way in me, Lord. And that's our cry, that's our prayer today. Help us, oh God, to stand on our feet, Lord, with boldness, Lord God, and to make decrees and to make declarations, Lord, that are in line with your purposes and your word, Lord God. Knowing, Father, that, Lord God, when we do that, we create an atmosphere, Lord God, in which you can work. An atmosphere, Father, Lord Jesus, that demons and devils we need to flee from. Because, Lord, they can't stand, especially saying he can't stand up when praises come, Lord God, from the hearts of your people, Lord. Because it reminds him of the position that he had when he was in heaven before he was demoted. Thank you, Lord God, that the church stands in that place. Thank you, Lord God, that you are doing the work. Thank you, Lord God, a new thing you are doing, oh God. You are performing it, Lord, and your word is working in the hearts of your people. Thank you, Lord God, that even though it may not seem like it makes sense, Lord, but we will praise you, Father, in the good times and in the bad times. Even though it may not seem like it makes sense, Lord, we will pray, and we will pray without ceasing, Lord. We will recognize and, Lord God, embrace the proper place of prayer, corporate prayer as well as individual prayer, Lord God. Nothing will be neglected. And so, Father, we give ourselves to you and we praise you and bless you and lift you up today because you are worthy of all praise and honor and all glory in Jesus' mighty name. Go before us now, we pray. And we thank you, Lord God, for these emblems that we're about to take. We pray that you bless them, Lord God, that Father, you are blessed to our bodies, Lord, in Jesus' name. And that, Lord God, with that comes the promise of healing, Lord God. And Father, we pray for those that need a touch in their body. As we take these emblems, we take it in faith, Lord God, believing, oh God, for the healing to be produced in our bodies, Lord. We thank you for strength because, Lord God, we get this too. And illumination and wisdom, Lord God. And we thank you, Father. And through our relationship that we have with you, you have given us access to these things. And so we bless you for all that you are doing now in Jesus' mighty precious name. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory in the name of the Lord. There's somebody here who needs strength. You're a little bit tired. That was me this morning, but it's not me. There's somebody here who needs strength in their body. Stand up on your feet right where you are. I don't know who you are, but stand up. I know is just right at the end of my prayer. Father, I just lift up these ladies before you. And in the name of Jesus, we pray that in the name of the Lord, that you will just bless them, strengthen them right now, Father. Lord God, we command every weakness, Lord God, the very cause of it, the very source of it, to be removed from their life. And Father, we give you thanks for strength physical strength that you will give into the hearts and into the minds of your people. We speak that into their hearts, into their bodies right now, and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Thank you for being obedient. One more area just came to me. Finances. Stand up on your feet if you need a breakthrough in finances. Just stand up. If you need to think about it, you don't need to really stand. Just, you know, you'll know whether or not you need a breakthrough in finances. Now, I'm going to say this, okay? Before I pray, I'm going to say this. There's nothing too difficult for the Lord. Okay? So, I don't know what you need. By the way, I'm standing as well. I'm in that. I'm just following through with the leading of the Lord. Listen to me carefully. God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask according to the what? According to the power that works in you. That's what that verse says, okay? According to the power that works in you. In other words, you've got the power of the Word, you've got the power of the Holy Spirit. Now you need to recognize that Word and utilize it. And what you need to do is you need to confess it. So every day, I want you to declare out loud in Jesus' name that your financial needs are met. Now, when you're standing on your feet, let's do that. We did something like this on Thursday, and let's do it again. I'm just going with the flow this morning. I want you to do it out loud. Repeat after me. In the name of Jesus, my financial needs are met. Say it again. In the name of Jesus, my financial needs are met. In the name of Jesus, my financial needs are met. We're going to give glory to God for that in Jesus' name. We're going to give glory. We're going to give glory. I'm going to pray. But before I pray, I need to also let you know this. You need to be obedient. You need to be obedient. God might tell you to sow a seed into wherever. It could be an individual. It could be church. It could wherever. God might speak to you and say that. Because the principle is this. Until you release what you have in your hand, God won't release what he has in his hand. Alright? God works with a seed. And so whatever seed that he might speak to, might not. God, you know, can do it without that. But the general principle is, something will be required. When you make a requirement from God, he's going to require something from you. So when you get that instruction, don't brush it off. Sow that seed. And then make the declaration you just made. And thanking him for the provision that's already made in Jesus' name. So repeat after me. In Jesus' name, I will be obedient and do what the Lord instructs me to do. Say it again. In Jesus' name, I will be obedient and do what the Lord instructs me to do. Well, you said it. You've said it. Careful now, because the Lord will be looking down and watching and testing. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for your promises, Lord. You're a God who cares for his people. And Lord, you know how to do and everything that needs to be done. You know how to take care of us, Lord. And so, Father, we want to thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for what you have done and for what you are doing even now, Lord. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. Thank you, Lord, that finances will be released into our lives in Jesus' name. And that, Lord God, we will be men and women that are mature and ready to handle, Lord God, without abusing the gift and the blessing, Lord God, that you will put into our hearts and into our lives. So we give you thanks now. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. Amen and amen. Praise God, you may be seated. Ah, no, I didn't.